This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you are listening to Ecotopia, a weekly program exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, and technological. I'm Stephen Chudy.
And I'm Susan Chudy. Tonight we'll be taking a close look at Proposition 23 on the November California ballot. It would suspend 2006 historic climate change legislation, arguing that cutting down on pollution is costing jobs in the Golden State. Our guest will be Jessica Allen of Vote Down Proposition 23. She has been leading the opposition here in the North State.
We'll also look at the background of this issue, the 2006 climate change bill that would be suspended by Proposition 23, and we'll review the arguments that are being made by Prop 23's sponsors and proponents.
Ecotopia is made possible in part by member contributions and by Cartridge World in Chico, specializing in printer cartridge refilling and remanufacturing for a green community. Cartridge World uses remanufactured cartridges for most home and business printers, copiers, and faxes. Cartridge World in Chico is located inside the Safeway Plaza next to Tri-Counties Bank. More information is available by calling 342-3333. And by John Whittlesey of Canyon Creek Nursery and Design, specializing in the design and installation of water-wise gardens and gray water systems. John is a landscape contractor and certified gray water installer who can design, install, or assist you in implementing a code-compliant gray water system for your home and water-conserving landscape. Canyon Creek Nursery and Design can be reached by calling 774-4955 or email johnccn@sunset.net.
And we want to remind you that the opinions voiced on Ecotopia do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. We'll be right back with an overview of the Proposition 23 debate right after this.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, and that was Only So Much Oil in the Ground, Tower of Power from the album Urban Renewal. And tonight we are looking at Proposition 23, which will appear on the November 2010 ballot, and we'll be talking with Jessica Allen shortly of the Vote Down Prop 23.
To help us understand the proposition more fully, we want to roll back the clock a few years to this press release by Governor Schwarzenegger, dated September 27, 2006. The headline was, Governor Schwarzenegger signs landmark legislation to reduce greenhouse gas emission. The press release, again, this came from the governor's office, reads, joined by national and international dignitaries who have been leaders in the fight against global climate change. Governor Schwarzenegger signed AB 32 by Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez, California's landmark bill that establishes a first-in-the-world comprehensive program of regulatory and market mechanisms to achieve real, quantifiable, cost-effective reductions of greenhouse gases. The governor said, "When I campaigned for governor 3 years ago, I said I wanted to make California number one in the fight against global warming. This is something we owe our children and our grandchildren."
The governor's press release continued, "Some have challenged whether AB 32 is good for business. I say unquestionably it is good for business, not only large, well-established businesses, but small businesses that will harness their entrepreneurial spirit to help us achieve our climate goals. Using market-based incentives, we will reduce carbon emissions to 1990 levels by the year 2020. That's a 25% reduction. And by 2050, we will reduce emissions to 80% below 1990 levels. We simply must do everything in our power to slow down global warming before it's too late."
The Nunez bill required the California Air Resources Board to develop regulations and market mechanisms that would ultimately reduce California's greenhouse gas emissions by 25% by 2020. Mandatory caps will begin in 2012 for significant sources and ratchet down to meet the 2020 goals.
The goal also provided the governor with the ability to invoke a safety valve and to suspend the emissions caps for up to 1 year in the case of an emergency or significant economic harm. If you want to learn more about the 2006 Climate Control Bill, AB 32, we have placed two links on our website that will describe the details.
Though he has the power to suspend AB 32, Governor Schwarzenegger has refused to do that in the current recession, arguing that the climate legislation is vital to the environment and is promoting green jobs in the state.
Opponents created a petition drive led in part by North State Assemblyman Dan Logue, which was successful in putting Proposition 23 on the ballot. We'll read from the ballot summary as provided by the Secretary of State's office. Here's Proposition 23. Suspends state laws requiring reduced greenhouse gas emissions that cause global warming until California's unemployment rate drops to 5.5% or less for four consecutive quarters. It requires the state to abandon implementation of comprehensive greenhouse gas reduction program that includes increased renewable energy and cleaner fuel requirements and mandatory emission reporting and fee requirements for major polluters such as power plants and oil refineries until suspension is lifted.
A summary estimate by the State Director of Finance of fiscal impact on state and local governments identifies potential positive short-term impacts on state and local government revenues from the suspension of regulatory activity, with uncertain longer-run impacts. Potential foregone state revenues from the auctioning of emission allowances by state government could take place by suspending the future implementation of cap-and-trade regulations. We note editorial that the financial impact statement does not take into account green jobs that would be lost or never created if Proposition 23 is enacted.
Proponents of Prop 23 argue, and here we quote from the Secretary of State's ballot summary and www.yeson23.com, that Yes on 23 saves jobs, prevents energy tax increases, and helps families while preserving California's clean air and water laws. California can't afford self-imposed energy costs that don't reduce global warming. 2.3 million Californians are unemployed. Proposition 23 will save over a million jobs that would be otherwise destroyed.
The opponents, led by No on 23, argue that Texas oil companies designed 23 to kill clean energy and air pollution standards in California. They say 23 threatens public health with more air pollution, increases dependence on costly oil, and kills competition from job-creating California wind and solar companies. Then in a September 9th editorial, the San Jose Mercury News wrote, "Proponents primarily oil companies who have donated millions to the campaign, say that when it's implemented through a cap-and-trade system, AB 32 will raise energy prices so much that businesses will be forced to lay off workers or move out of the state. That assertion, says the Mercury News, is very much in question. With more than 2 million Californians unemployed, they argue that it's the wrong time to implement AB 32.
The Mercury News editorial continues, however, by pointing out how Prop 23 would eviscerate California's clean energy business. They continue, it would be an absolute calamity to turn off the magnet that's attracting billions of dollars in job-creating investment. In 2009, 40% of clean tech venture capital went to California, where some 12,000 companies are working on ways that could help businesses and consumers reduce energy consumption. More than 500,000 people work in the industry, including 93,000 in manufacturing.
And the San Jose Mercury News editorial concludes, supporters of Proposition 23 are right about one thing. Job creation is absolutely essential to California's future, which is precisely why voters should reject the measure. It would kill the state's primary economic engine now and for years to come.
We search for other editorials on the topic. Papers such as the Ventura County Star, the Sonoma County Press Democrat, and San Diego's East Country Magazine and Desert Sun of Palm Springs all oppose 23. We only found one editorial favoring that proposition, that in the Orange County Register, which argued that even without Global Warming Solution Act, AB 32, the state's numerous clean air and water laws are the nation's strictest. As we have noted repeatedly, the draconian and unnecessary Global Warming Solutions Act, fully implemented, would result in more than 1 million lost jobs, and billions of dollars in higher energy and other costs, while accomplishing nothing regarding global warming. Suspending its implementation, particularly in this economy, is prudent.
We'll take a short break and then be back to talk with Jessica Allen of Vote Down Proposition 23.
Miles and miles of gasoline.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, and with us in the studio is Jessica Allen of Vote Down Proposition 23. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you come to be involved in this kind of work, in Vote Down 23 specifically?
I originally became involved in politics while I was in my senior year at Chico State studying biology. That was when the disorderly events ordinance was passed by actually the Chico police chief at the time, Haggerty, pretty much wrote it and booted everyone else out of the discussion and passed a law that said people could get fined for circumstantial evidence of a crime being committed anywhere they were at and being fined for not leaving. And then if you did get one of these fines, you had to appeal directly back to the police. So that was something that I really saw a huge problem. And I knew there was a lot of problems within people in Chico and a big problem that had been growing for a long time for various different reasons, especially considering Haggerty came from the LAPD and he also worked for Homeland Security. So very interesting scenario. But I did get involved in a referendum on that, which we collected close to 5,000 signatures within a few weeks to try to get that up to an election instead of just going into effect. Mm-hmm. And through that process, we ended up having the law slightly altered, but at the same time set up an ACLU in Chico, which is still an active chapter. And yes. That's really good to have because everybody needs free lawyers occasionally. Yep. And from there, I worked for the California Faculty Association, which is the union for California State University professors. It's a statewide union for faculty and certain administrative workers within the CSU system. And I've also worked for the Chico Democratic Party in the 08 election. I was the headquarters director for the election that got Obama, the first Democrat to win in Butte County in several decades. So that was, you know, and now on to we're doing the No on Prop 23 campaign in Butte County.
And how did you get started with that? How did that come about?
Well, it was basically put on the ballot, and a lot of concerned environmentalists in the area noticed that it was on the ballot, and we got together. The Chico Conservation voters decided to work really hard to let everyone in our area know that Prop 23 is funded by these oil companies and that there's a lot of lies associated with it. And since we don't have the capacity for media that billionaire corporations have, we have to start talking to people.
Right.
Let's come back a little bit later and talk about the funding for the proposition. What are the elements that you are opposed to?
All of them. Basically, it very simply state that it overturns AB 32 until unemployment's 5.5% for a full year in our state. Right now, it's over 12% and climbing, which has nothing to do with environmental regulations, despite it's a hidden claim because they don't come out and say it. But by tying it together, they're insinuating that somehow our bad economy has to do with California's environmental regulations when we're conveniently forgetting about our big expensive war and all the things that have really led us to where we're at, which have nothing to do with AB 32.
Well, in fact, how much of AB 32 has already been implemented at this point?
As far as implementing, the California Air Resource Board has been setting up, it's called a scoping plan, and that's, they've been working on basically the nuts and bolts of how we are going to reduce our emissions to 1990 levels by 2020. So it actually goes into effect next year. There's a little bit, but mostly 2012, it actually kicks in, and that's why this is the last-ditch effort by the big polluters to overturn it.
So the funds or the possible effects on industry in California have not been registered yet.
Actually,
I'm getting back to your point about unemployment.
Well, the only ones that have been registered are the positive ones, which the Yes on 23 people are ignoring, is the huge amount of green jobs, the solar, the wind, the renewable energy, all the different things, just even green products, the fact that California leads in all of these things, that they're completely ignoring all the jobs that have been created because we are the leaders.
Can you tell us, you started to talk about, who is putting financial support into the Proposition 23 campaign?
Well, so far about 80% of the $8 million have been donated from Valero and Tesoro, as well as Koch Industries. Well, Valero and Tesoro are the two Texas oil companies, and we're really that's a big thing to point out. These Texas oil companies are trying to save jobs in California. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm, and then it just came out that the Koch Industries, which there's a really good, there's a lot of stuff in the New Yorker and the New York Times, Amy Goodman, it just came out a couple weeks ago, but they're billionaires who have been funding the Tea Party and a lot of what I would say right-wing causes, with no disrespect to anybody involved in them, but these guys have been secretly, and that's an important part, secretly funding a lot of things that have kept our country divided over the years. And so between Valero, Tesoro, and Koch Industries, that's about 80% of the money right there.
I think I read, too, that Koch Industries are also in the coal business.
Yeah, they're in a lot of the business. They're big billionaires. They're in some of the richest people in our country, so they're dabbling in a lot of different things, especially energy, though. They are on the top of the pollution. You know, they're between all of their different subsidiaries and the trickle-down companies that aren't called Koch Industries but are all funded. For instance, Flint Hills is the $1 million they donated through. So it wasn't donated. If you go to the Secretary of State's website, it says Flint Hill Industries out of Kansas or somewhere. You know, they filter a lot of the money through these secret channels. And actually, speaking of that, there's $500,000 out of Missouri that's from the Adam Smith Foundation. And that's kind of came out in the last month or two that's nobody knows who's in the Adam Smith Foundation. And they had a few $100s last year, but they suddenly donated $500,000. And they a couple of leading people in our state requested the attorney general investigate the nonprofit status of these guys. And their response was, well, we have lawyers.
So how is that public information? Can you get that information easily? Who is putting money into Prop 23?
Well, you can get a list on the if you go to the Secretary of State's website, there's something called Cal Access. It's you can go to any, you can basically get funding for any politician at the state level or any ballot initiative on both sides of it.
Okay. And it's hard. You might be able to find out who's supporting it, but getting at the bottom of who those people are and what their interests are might be a little bit harder.
Well, exactly. A lot of companies hide their funding of things like this because they don't want to appear to be not green, or maybe they, on one hand, look like an environmental company, so they don't want to openly give money to something like Prop 23, so they do it through another company that really doesn't even exist except for the fact that it's allowed to donate money.
Right.
But there is also money coming into the anti-Prop 23 campaign. Who are the major funders of the opposition?
You know, I know you guys mentioned something about that earlier, so I went and I looked up the Secretary of State's website. Also has the same, you know, page, because you look on the opposing and the proponents, so you can get all the people filing money through the Secretary of State. And I went, and a lot of the money is from actual clean industry businesses. Okay. So solar industries, wind energy industries, all these industries that they know their business will be horribly affected if the oil companies are allowed to. Basically, it's like changing the playing field. And so it will unlevel the playing field. So all these small sprout businesses will be in trouble if Prop 23 passes, because the capital investments made will not be worth what they were made, because the oil companies will therefore control the energy business in California, whereas we were moving toward them not controlling it. So there's also, that's a lot of it. There's environmental and social justice groups, the Natural Resource Defense Council, the Sierra Club, the Union of Concerned Scientists, which I really like them, the Environmental Defense Fund, the Audubon Society, and a lot of healthcare, labor, consumer rights, and they're supported by a lot of local governments and county governments all across the state have signed on to oppose Prop 23.
Why do you suppose the state and county governments are opposed? What's their stake in the
people measure? They represent will be inversely affected by this. So it really, say the city of San Francisco goes, well, it's not going to be good for our people if these oil companies who operate this refinery in the Bay Area don't have to clean up their act. So it's not good for the people, and the city governments know that it's not good for the people. And in general, there may be politicians, so they might, you know, be a little more informed about what's going on. But in the last few months, a lot of cities and counties across California have signed up to oppose Prop 23.
Let's take a short break at this point. We're talking with Jessica Allen of the Vote Down 23 movement here in the North State. And we have a number of other questions we'd like to ask her. We'll take a short break and be back after this. Ecotopia on KZFR. With us in the studio tonight is Jessica Allen of Vote Down Proposition 32. Thanks very much for being with us. Vote Down Proposition 23. My learning disability kicks in, and there we go.
Don't vote down.
So we're talking about 23, but you also have some insight into what the original A.B. Nunez bill passed in 2006, which is numbered 32, is all about. Could you tell us about the components of that bill?
And yeah, real quick, I'm just to say it's kind of confusing because Prop 23 overturns A.B. 32.
Yeah.
So A.B. 32 is the existing law that we already have in California,
right.
But the irony is by calling it Prop 23, it's the opposite of A.B. 32, and it does make printing literature really hard because there's too many numbers in there that make you feel a little bit dyslexic by looking at them because they're flipped around. But as far as A.B. 32 goes, as you said earlier, it was passed in 2006, and it limits greenhouse gas emissions to 1990 levels by 2020. And about that goes, well, you know, you said it was the first in the world of that sort from your report, the Mercury News.
Yeah.
And, well, this is the first in the world vote. And unfortunately, we're not moving forward with this vote. We're just trying to not move backwards.
Right.
So the interests that be that are able to come up with all the money to fund Prop 23 and get it on the ballot are the ones who have the billion-dollar oil industry businesses. And they... The real thing they're saying, we care, we really do care, we really, really, really care, but the economy, you know, the economy has to be down to 5% before we can really care. And that's just, you know, that's the best they could do because they couldn't, one, kill it. They couldn't say, we don't care. Let's just kill it. So let's just overturn it until the sky turns purple.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll wait for that 5.5% unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you go into AB 32, which I've been reading through the scoping plan, which really has a lot of the background, the science, and, you know, and we really like to talk about air pollution because people understand there's a refinery and it pumps smoke. That makes a lot of sense. But when you go into greenhouse gas emissions, you go into global warming, it gets really confusing and most people don't understand it, but we really need to keep in mind that it is there. Even though we don't understand it, all the scientists got together, despite all the opposition from the Bush administration and others, and they agreed, yes, this is what our scientific data is telling us, that the climate is changing, and if we don't do something, it is going to be really bad for all of us really soon. So, like, that's the background on AB 32 passing. The scientific data stimulated us to do something, to be proactive and to fight against the powers that be, such as these oil companies, who may not want us to do it. But we did that. And they're trying to stop it. They're trying to overturn it. Well, if you go into AB 32, there's something very specific in there about the goal of getting our emissions lowered. And it really goes into basically the long-term goal is to wean us off fossil fuels, because mm-hmm. that's the only way our climate change plan is going to work, because we cannot continue to burn oil into the atmosphere anymore. And so the long-term goal is very specifically to wean us off, which nobody really except the fossil fuel companies is going to mind that, because it is polluting. It is messing up our environment. It's polluting our air. It's polluting our water. It's leaving our children with a big old mess to clean up. So most people, I think, if we could do it, would agree that sounds really good. Let's stop doing it so badly. So these fossil fuel companies have basically came in and funded Prop 23 because they know it's going to be bad for their profits. And they tell us it's going to, they're trying to save our jobs. They pay for studies that say, oh, a million jobs. Well, you know what? You paid for that study for one. Like the one, the two main studies they use for their million jobs and their $500 billion it's going to cost us, which is just ridiculous. How does energy efficiency cost you money? I don't know. You save energy, so you save money. It's a very commonsensical. You get a more energy efficient car, you buy less gasoline. So it doesn't cost you money, except for the very small initial investment that is paid off quicker than you would have if you hadn't done it at all. So it's not costing us anything, but they got these studies done and they paid for them themselves. And you know, if you go UCLA, Stanford, Tufts University, the Legislative Analysis Office have all said that the way they collected the data was completely useless because they didn't take into effect any of the savings associated with energy efficiency. So they're saying, hey, dummy, if you spend 50 cents more on a light bulb, you're spending 50 cents more on an energy efficient light bulb. Why would you do that? It's going to cost you 50 cents more, where we all can get the light bulb there. Well, it does save us money by buying these energy efficient light bulbs because we spend less on electricity. But they didn't take any of that into account or any of the jobs created in our local economy, which this is important. Our local economy is, these jobs are here. This money is coming into California. Texas is not investing in California. These oil companies are in Texas. The Koch brothers are in Kansas. The Adam Smith Foundation's in Missouri. There's a lot of coal companies from the East Coast. None of them are investing in our economy. So they don't want us to know that our economy is growing and actually is creating a threat to them, because it's creating competition and it's going to spread. And that's a really important thing I want to go into real quick today. And there's an article in the LA Times by Charles Dravina where he quotes the president, or actually, no, there's an article in the LA Times where Charles Dravina is the president of the National Petrochemical Refiners Association. And he says, quote, a defeat for Prop 23 could energize environmental fanatics around the country. And he goes on, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's a disaster for our industry. And Tesoro, which is one of the main funders, has gone around giving PowerPoint presentations to all the energy interests in the country, which I've seen a copy of it, and it says there's legislation that if it passes, it will spread, it will affect you, please give us money to stop it now. And that's really what's going on here. It has nothing to do with jobs in California. They're not saving our jobs. Why do they care about our jobs? They're corporations. They care about profits. So
one of the things that I remember from years and years ago in the 70s when we had the oil crisis during the Carter administration, there was a lot of innovation in alternative energies. And as soon as the oil came flooding back, all of those innovations just sort of died out. All of the things that we probably, many of the things that we could have had in place now if we had continued looking at wind power and solar power and developing those technologies, and they just kind of disappeared. They just sort of floated away.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, there's like this thing and people go, well, what does AB 32 do? Well, part of it is new cars have to be more energy efficient. And you ask, mm-hmm. has anybody ever asked themselves why cars aren't? I mean, it's, we're working on the Model T engine here.
Right.
Why have we not changed? And I don't know if you have any background on this, but there are various reasons where these large corporations had came in and stopped us from changing. So this is just another example of, you know, and some people criticize the AB 32. There may be, you know, it's confusing. People don't understand about carbon emissions. They don't understand about the cap on carbon emissions. They don't understand, you know, it's a very confusing political thing that you pretty much have to be a scientist to understand.
Right.
So, but the thing with that is maybe it isn't perfect. You know, and maybe it's mm-hmm. only a half step forward. Maybe we had to compromise, but should we take a whole step backwards because these oil companies come in and want us to do it? I think not. I think we need to keep going forward, and we need to tell Texas to go home because they should not be involved in California politics.
Let's talk a little bit about the cap and trade issue. We've done several programs about cap and trade, and people have been divided about whether it will work. Some folks say it's the only real solution. If you put carbon credits on the market and let people wheel and deal for them, that's the way to bring down greenhouse emissions. Others have argued that it's just another scheme that allows the rich polluters to buy the right to destroy the environment and then pass the costs on to others. I realize that you're not out to analyze AB 32 per se, but could you talk a little bit about your own view of cap and trade and where that fits into this whole discussion?
In my view, it's really people had, like I said, it started off with this, hey, we have this data, we have this science, and then there was a lot of people who care. And they decided to do something. Well, they got a compromise because the interest that, unfortunately, the people do not control our country and the people could not just say, you know what, you need to stop just being billionaires and shoving all that smoke up in our air. You know, why don't you try a little harder? Why don't you just try being like a, you know, have $5 million instead? Or, you know, like we didn't get, like, so we get this compromise. But my point is it's a half step forward. And a lot of things in politics are compromises. But if you take that half step forward, you only have another half step forward to go. If you sit still, you're going nowhere at all. So it is a somewhat of a compromise because in AB 32, mm-hmm. you look at it and they actually, because of a lot of people did put input into it, and it's a people's input thing. So a lot of corporations mm-hmm. came and said, hey, you can't just destroy our economy. You can't do it. So they came up with a way where the economy can still grow through, you know, and yet still achieve our goal. And it's not perfect, but it's definitely moving forward because it helps achieve our goal. And that's an important thing to remember is, like, why is our goal there? Why are we trying? Why do we care? Well, our children and our grandchildren and the fact that we are people on this earth and we need the earth more than those Texas billionaires need another $1 billion.
In fact, we talked at the Copenhagen conference this winter and were, like many people, disappointed with the outcome. It has to be said that AB 32 in 2006 is way ahead of anything that came out of the Copenhagen climate change conference. And Copenhagen is also four square in favor of cap and trade. It's along with a kind of a global policy, but in California, ahead of the game.
You know, as far as that goes, that is the thing. We are ahead of the game, and we're not as far as we want to be, but we can't let ourselves be turned around mm-hmm. by a ballot initiative funded by people who don't even live in California. You know, we can't do that. But as far as, you know, cap and trade goes, I know it's a very controversial idea, but I did read about China is considering a plan that's going to move much faster even yep. than California's plan. So it's like really, maybe that's where we're going. And you know what? If it doesn't work, we go somewhere else. But we still need to go forward. We can't just mm-hmm. believe a bunch of reports that were paid for, these consultants paid for. And, you know, the Yes on 23 thing is actually ran by a Philip Morris tobacco lobbyist. So he's very good at setting up stacking the cards in his favor, so to speak. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have all that going on. We just can't fall for it. We have to say no. And if we need to do something different and better, then we do that. But we don't just take this big step backwards and... With the Supreme Court ruling that corporations can give unlimited funds to political candidates, the next presidential election might be a big thing where it's people against corporations. And we really need to say, hey, we're not okay with that. You need to stop. And you need to go, if you want to make a bunch of money, make a bunch of money, but stay out of our politics.
So how can people become involved? What are things that we can do to help support voting down Prop 23?
Well, the Chico Conservation Voters is having a No on 23 Jazz Brunch this coming up Sunday, September 19th. It's at the ARC Park Tower Pavilion, which is at 2040 Park Avenue, and it's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's going to be music by John Seed and Friends, and there's going to be an all-you-can-eat catered by David Gazzetti, which mm-hmm. will be very delicious. It's reasonably priced, and if you would like to come, please RSVP so the chef knows how much food to cook at 532-0963.
Repeat
532-0963.
And the details of the time and place one more time.
The ARC, this coming up Sunday, the 19th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And if you have any questions, you can email votedownprop23@gmail.com, or you can call me at 521-8691, and that's 521-8691. Oh, and by the way, we do need volunteers for this brunch as well as some of our other events. So if you want to come down, we have an office in downtown, so give me a call at 521-8691, and we will set you up with an internship or even an hour of volunteer work for a good cause.
So... Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
As we close, and in the spirit of fairness, we are putting up two links on our website. The proponents of Prop 23 have marshaled their arguments at www.yeson23.com. The opponents' arguments are up at stopdirtyenergyprop.com. And we've been talking tonight with Jessica Allen of Vote Down 23. We thank you very much for being with us tonight for your energetic and well-informed discussion.
Hey, thank you guys for having me, and thanks a lot for your participation in our community radio station.
Great. Thanks, Jessica. Thank you.
That was North Sea Oil by Jethro Tull from the Stormwatch album. This is Ecotopia on KZFR. Tonight we've been talking about Proposition 23 on the November ballot, which would suspend implementation of California's climate change legislation until unemployment drops below 5.5% for four consecutive quarters. We'll close tonight by reading an article from the Sacramento Bee that was published just last Friday. Reporter Rick Desog writes of a newly released study of Prop 23's impacts. It comes from the University of California, Berkeley. Rick Desog wrote, "Suspending California's landmark climate change law would result in the loss of millions of dollars in state revenue and hurt the state's growing clean tech industry," a new report says. The Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment at the University of California, Berkeley Law School also said the rollback initiative, Proposition 23, would benefit oil and power companies while increasing regulatory burdens to real estate developers and automakers. The report's co-author, Dan Farber, said it adds significant uncertainty at a time when we have a lot of economic uncertainty.
As we noted, California's climate change law, signed by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in 2006, attempts to reduce carbon emissions statewide to 1990 levels by the year 2020. The rollback measure seeks to suspend the law until the statewide unemployment rate drops to 5.5% for four quarters in a row. Barber said Proposition 23 would force the state to suspend a $63 million fee it plans to charge oil companies, utilities, and other energy companies. It would also require the state to set aside a cap-and-trade program that places limits on greenhouse gas emissions from oil refiners, utilities, and other energy companies. Under such a system, the state would sell carbon allowances to the state's largest polluters, which could then use those allowances to offset their emissions or sell them on a secondary market. Estimates of the state's revenues from a cap-and-trade system have ranged from $220 million to $550 million.
Another casualty, according to the UC Berkeley report, would be California's budding clean tech sector. Part of AB 32 requires utilities to purchase about a third of their energy supply from renewable resources. Setting aside the law would result in the loss of clean jobs and limit investments in new technologies, the report said.
The study also said that Proposition 23 will create inequities between industries regulated by different climate change laws. Oil companies and utilities would be relieved of their burdens under AB 32, while real estate developers and car makers governed by a separate set of climate change laws would see increased pressures from regulators, the report said. You're going to end up with this patchwork of climate change regulations that will affect some sectors and not others.
Anita Manjis, spokeswoman for the Yes on 23 committee, disputed the report. She said Proposition 23 would have a positive impact on state revenue and California's economy. She cited a July study by the state legislative analyst's office, which said the state could see, quote, a potentially significant increase in revenue from greater economic activity if AB 32 was delayed.
Don't go near the water. Don't you think it's sad? What's happened to the water? Our water's going bad. Oceans, rivers, lakes, and streams have all been touched by man.
Don't go. Performances presents the Celtic Fiddle Festival, Wednesday, September 22nd. Kevin Burke from Ireland, Christian Lemert of Brittany, and André Brunet from Quebec combine musical traditions and spontaneous humor for an evening of dazzling entertainment. Some of the world's best Celtic fiddlers, Celtic Fiddle Festival at Laxon Auditorium, Wednesday, September 22nd at 7:30 p.m. For tickets and information, please visit www.chicoperformances.com.
That's it for Ecotopia for tonight. We hope that our exploration of Proposition 23 has helped you to be a better informed voter at the polls in November. And again, we've put up a number of reference links on our website, ecotopiakzfr.net. Check that out to read more about Prop 23, pro and con, to inform your vote at the polls.
Ecotopia is made possible by member contributions and by Cartridge World in Chico, specializing in printer cartridge refilling and remanufacturing for a green community. Cartridge World uses remanufactured cartridges for most home and business printers, copiers, and faxes. Cartridge World is located, Cartridge World in Chico is located inside the Safeway Plaza next to Tri-Counties Bank. More information is available by calling 342-3333 and by John Whittlesey of Canyon Creek Nursery and Design, specializing in the design and installation of water-wise gardens and gray water systems. John is a landscape contractor and certified gray water installer who can design, install, or assist you in implementing a code-compliant gray water system for your home and water-conserving landscape. Canyon Creek Nursery and Design can be reached by calling 774-4955 or email johnccn@sunset.net.
And coming up at the 7 this evening on KZFR is the storyteller with your anthropological guide, Adrian Scott, bringing you stories, legends, and music from long ago and modern-day cultures. And then at 7:30, join the DJs on All Mixed Up, bringing you 2.5 hours of rock and pop music from the edges of mainstream and contemporary music, blurring the boundaries of most commercial radio. Thanks very much for listening to Ecotopia. I'm Stephen Chudy.
I'm Susan Chudy. Contact us at ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com or visit our website, ecotopiakzfr.net. You can also become our fans, followers, friends on Facebook and receive, mostly, advance notice of upcoming shows. Good night.
Give me the hope of a new tomorrow and fill my cup again now. We need the sunshine out of the falling, out of the falling. We need the hope of a new tomorrow and fill my cup again.
Well, I've seen the steel and the concrete crumble.